Holy Spirit,
get y'all for a while.
I just want to be ready. I want to be ready. Do you want to be ready? I want to be ready. I want to be ready. We'll be right back.
gonna be. By the grace of God, I just wanna be ready to go. I wanna be ready. Take place. Amen. Amen. Y'all help me out. Does not matter if I'm walking in grace. Today. Y'all can do better than that. This is Happy Valley, isn't it? Come on now. I know better than that. Because some of y'all know it. I know what he did for you. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. How many's glad to be here? I didn't know I was going to be here about what. I was literally getting ready to walk out the door. I'm like, glad I didn't have all my flip-flops. Woo! But Brother Jewel's here tonight, as we all know. And whether or not he's here or whoever's here, we're going to have church. It's always baffled me that people being set up in their minds that only one person can preach, and that's my favorite preacher and all this and that. I wrote a poem one time. It's called Brother Favorite. You know, and it just talks about how, you know, somebody came to church and Brother Favorite wasn't there, so they just went on back home in their mind. They didn't even listen to everybody clapping, singing, and dancing. But we're going to have church tonight. Amen. We're going to get up in that helicopter with Brother Jewel and just fly around and see things we've never seen before. Then all of a sudden, he's going to jump out. I don't know what we're going to do, but he's going to jump out. He's going to parachute out. I've often thought, who's driving this thing? He's going to parachute out of here. I'm going to grab one too and jump out with it. I need more of you. That's the way it's got to be. time have you wasted? Lord, I surrender them to you. They're yours now. Just didn't feel Listen. Brother Tracy says this. He said, God sent me here, so count the cost, and there ain't enough devils gonna run me off. Ain't enough devils. Huh? Also, Sister Lisa Riddleball sends this testimony, and she says, after more than a month of double vision, the Lord has restored normal vision to both my eyes. Amen. I did not even have to see the doctor. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to have a prayer request at this time. And if you didn't get anything, you just hold it on your heart. Please pray for Andrew Kennedy. He hurt his knee and is in a lot of pain. Also, Brother Sister Linda Kennedy has an unspoken prayer request for Bill. Unspoken prayer request for Bill and Linda Kennedy. Sister Boone is sick and unable to be at church this evening. Sister Claire submits that. Also, continue to remember Brother James Stamper. He is not doing well and needs our prayers. A pillar of this church. Amen. Please pray for Brother Gene and Sister Janet Lehman. They both need a touch from the Lord. Please pray for Gene Koparik, I think, K-O-P-A-R-I-C-K, who has a brain aneurysm and will have surgery Monday or Tuesday. Just take that up on our heart. Please pray for Justin White's family. His grandmother on his mother's side passed away this morning. So let's just take these things upon our heart. I had a call from a relative today who lives in North Carolina. He was in town. His son is here at ETSU. And I saw him at a funeral a while back. I'm going to just take a little bit to say this. But another family member that passed away. And I gave him my number and told him just call me anytime. And his son had called me. I've had contact with him. But he called and he couldn't find his son. His son knew he was coming in town. He talked to him last night. He got here and his son wouldn't answer the phone. And he was just frazzled. And just beside himself, and you know, we went to campus, couldn't find him, went to the campus police, they couldn't locate anything on him, and he was just very, very worried about his son. And, you know, the boys were with me, and I just told him as we were going to meet him, just pray, you know, everything will be okay, and that we'll find him. But the reason I'm telling this is just the heart of a father. Whose son, he didn't know what was going on with him, where he was, which he did eventually find him. He had his phone on vibrate. He worked last night. He was asleep. But I watched that, my cousin, I watched that dad, when he got that call from his son, his hands were just trembling on the phone. He handed me the phone to get the directions. And there we stood, because we went by the hospital. We thought, well, we'll check the hospitals. Maybe something has happened. And there he stood. This is a nominal Christian, okay? But there he stood in the parking lot of Johnson City Medical Center, weeping, crying with his hands up, just praising the Lord. Church, we're missing something. Brother Jewel's preaching. Shut up, Jewel. Bless Brother Andrew, if you'll come, Brother Andrew Glover, come and lead us to the Lord in prayer this evening. And we're just here to have church, to worship the Lord, and to get a stronger hold on God this evening. Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father God, we come to you on behalf of this service, Jesus. God, we thank you for this opportunity to come in this house and worship you tonight in spirit and in truth, God. God, there's been many prayer requests read to us tonight, God, of people that's sick, Father, and people that's got brain aneurysms, God. I pray you'll touch those people right now. I pray by the power of the Holy Ghost that you'll go to them right now and raise them back up for your honor and glory. God, I pray right now for Brother Jules. He comes to this pulpit tonight to break the bread of life, God. I pray that your power will just come down in this house tonight, God. I pray that as you anoint him to preach, God, you'll anoint us to hear it, Father. God, I pray you'll bless everything that's said and done in this service tonight, God. Bless each and every person that's made an effort to come out and praise you tonight, God. We thank you for all you've done for us this very day. We praise you for it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
And as the brothers come to lift their offering, there aren't any special songs Sister Vanessa will sing before Brother Jewel comes, but I don't guess anybody had anything. I didn't get anything. Does anybody have something burning on their heart to sing? I know this Happy Valley has to be perfect. You can't be on the spot anymore. Boo devil. Amen. As they lift the offering, let's just sing this song. Search me, O God. turn that great spotlight of eternity down this way. And if it shines on no one but me, search me out by that word. You say, I don't like Brother Jewel. That ain't why you're here. You're here to hear the word of God. I didn't know Brother Jewel was going to be. I thought my favorite preacher, Brother Donnie, was going to be here. Nope. He ain't here. Sorry to disappoint you. But God is here. Is that good enough? Search me, oh God, and know my heart. If you need to sit down, you can. Today, try me. Oh, say. Cry, oh my heart today. See, people don't like to think this, but anything wicked, amen. Some wicked way
in me.
Brothers, stay right there on that verse.
Set me.
Let's stir up some devils tonight. We're asking God to see if there be anything wicked in us.
Search, search me, oh God, and know this whole life.
My every thought, what I'm gonna think, what I have thought,
I pray, see if there be some wicked.
Sin. Cute folk don't think they have sin.
And set me free.
Search me. Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord one more hand. Amen. Hallelujah. We'll sing one more song before we turn the word of the service. Amen. Just happy to be a Christian. Just happy to be in the fight, in the struggle. Sometimes we look around and we wonder, where in the world are the other soldiers? We're in this fight. And we look around, where's my brother? Where's my sister? Is that true? It gets a little lonely. It gets a little weary sometimes. But if we would just look up every now and again, we know that he's there. You say, I don't understand what I'm going through. You don't really need to understand. Just know God. That's a mighty simple thing. It's a paradox in this age in which we live. But it's still true nonetheless. Amen.
What a mighty God Jesus. What a mighty God. Savior is. Oh, heaven and earth
Is this okay, church? Is this all right?
As our brother would come at this time, let's just sing this song. I'm glad he didn't throw the clay away. Over and over and over and over. I'm talking about me. I don't know. Over and over and over. He's molding me. He's making me. I'll get to a certain spot. He said, nope, come on back. I got to crush you down again. See a little flaw in you. See a little speck in you. I'm so glad he does that, church. Over and over. Y'all help me. And makes me into He fashions a vessel.
Be glad of that. He didn't throw the clay away. No way. You say, by God's grace, we were predestinated to be here. God couldn't throw the clay away because it had an eternal seed in it. And that means that it come from God and it had to go back to God. So we thank the Lord tonight that He didn't throw the clay away. We just want to say this evening, we appreciate being in service with you this evening. Appreciate Brother Donnie giving us the opportunity to have this fellowship with you this evening. Good to see every one of you. I can't start naming names, but it's just good to be here. Brother Horn, it's just him. Brother Jewel lives here tonight. You got Brother Jewel and Brother Jewel. Maybe my mama should spell my name Brother Jewel. Because it took me 18 years before I found out I was a boy. They had my birth certificate. They had on my birth certificate, they had female for all them years. So I got ready to get a passport. And so I said, man, but we got that thing straight. I said, I'm a man, believe that. I thank the Lord tonight. Appreciate my wife being with us. I guess we'll try to sing a song in the morning. Listen, she wants to sing right now. What's she out on this here? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Y'all may be seated in a moment then. Praise the Lord. She is singing for me. Good to see you, Kelly. Mom, good to see you, Mom. Batman. God bless you. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's good for her to be here. Me and my wife, since the last time I was here, we got a 9th grandchild, so we thank God for that.
God bless y'all. I'm just going to sing a little chorus. You can help me sing it. I have the Maker, and He formed my heart before even time began.
Hallelujah.
My life was in His hands, and He knows my name. He sees each every thought. He sees each tear that falls, and He hears me when He called me His own. He'll never leave me, no matter where I go.
Hallelujah.
But He knows my name.
Oh, yes.
He sees each tear that falls, and He knows my every thought, and He hears me when I call. And I have a Maker.
Hallelujah.
He formed my
that cause. I'll call.
Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise God. We thank God this evening that he knows my name. If he wouldn't have knew it, we wouldn't know how to come to him. But when he called, we heard our names, so we know he was talking about me. He was talking about you, so we thank God this evening he knows our name. I want to say this evening we trust God. You know my style. He called me the helicopter preacher in the South. Amen. So I try to live up to that. So when I get ready to start, I'm going to start. When I stop, I'm just going to stop. So y'all be praying for us, and we're just looking for a good time in the Holy Spirit. Would you just stand one more time? We're going to, for the reading of the word, we're going to read two places. 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. And we're going to read from the 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter this evening. 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. And I'm going to begin reading at the 11th verse. Paul's speaking here. 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. And the 11th verse, excuse me. 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter and 11th verse. And Paul speaking, he said, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. But I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, 1 verse, scripture from now. And it reads, 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, verse 7. Paul's speaking here. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, help me one more time to yield my mind, my body, my spirit, my soul to you, God. Father, help me to decrease in my own human way, Lord. Father, we ask you, God, to come, take full control of this service. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated one moment. Thank the Lord for the reading of the word of God this evening. Amen. I like the way Paul spoke it in here. And Paul said, when I was a child, he said, I spoke as a child. He said, I understood as a child. He said, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. And I took a title from failing to grow up into the law of maturity. We want to talk on maturity. As I've been around, I begin to think on the things that I see the lack of the most. For the last 30 years, by God's grace, I've been around the message. And I've been, you begin to hear, as I begin to grow and been around peoples, I begin to realize everybody have come to some knowledge of the truth. You go around and you talk to people and you begin to talk about the message and they can take out the quote, they can take out different revelations. And I be saying, oh, everybody is growing. Everybody done come to some knowledge of the truth. But I find out as I begin to travel and begin to express, I begin to realize, yeah, everybody growing in knowledge, everybody learning, but how many people have come to maturity? And what we're looking at now, it's time for a rapture. Hallelujah. We done had a time. We done been childs long enough. We done been children playing, lining the bridges, Miss Mary Mac long enough. It's time to get out of here now. And Paul began to speak on of maturity. Maturity is something here. We need to come to that. Jesus' authority was his full maturity in the word of God. He knew who he was. Hallelujah. He knew where he come from and he knew where he was going. Hallelujah. So he was mature. You couldn't change Jesus' mind about his revelation. He said, when you see me, you see the Father. That means he had no, in other words, you could not make Jesus doubt who he was. You could not make Jesus change his revelation because he was a mature. He walked in revelation of maturity. He grew into this maturity. As he began to suffer, he learned obedience. And I began to look at these things, sure. And I began to think of maturity. And I looked up the word maturity. And it spoke a simple-minded person. An immaturity is a simple immaturity. Excuse me. An immaturity, it means a simple-minded person. An immature person. A Christian babe. A child. Hallelujah. And then I looked up the word child. It means to make sport as a boy. Hallelujah. But we did not come to play church. We did not come to church to be seen. We come to church to lay in the presence of the Son of Man and become ripened. As I begin to go here and I look here, as I begin to think on the thing, maturity also means a full-grown plant. It means an animal or as land as or ripened. As it comes to full maturity, it means being perfect, complete, or ready. So we begin to realize here is something that done laid long enough that it done come to maturity. Hallelujah. It done been something that been in the presence long enough that we can see the fruit of the evidence that this is a mature church. This is a mature son of God. Amen. I begin to go here. I begin to think on maturity as I begin to realize and I thought on them things and I begin to realize here, you know, when we see something that's not growing, something wrong. Hallelujah. If you buy a dog and he won't grow, something wrong. Hallelujah. You begin to say, this dog won't be this high and he just died. Something wrong with his DNA. There's some malfunction or some imperfection is in his DNA. And because he's not growing, something is wrong. Hallelujah. When we look at immaturity, hallelujah, when we become, we find in the life, we find tall people, short people, then we find real. What's wrong? Something wrong. What's wrong with the problem? The problem is in the DNA. Hallelujah. So we begin to realize here, something is wrong. We see, as I traveled over the world, I seen people that's born with some people with arms, some people don't have no legs, some people don't have no arms or hands, and you look at this, and we call it deformed. And you look at this child as it be born, it come out, you see this thing, you see the child, a baby born, and the baby ain't got no legs, or the baby ain't got no hand, and you begin to wonder what happened to this child, something is wrong. It's some immaturity, it's something did not develop. Where did it come from? It came from his DNA. And I begin to look here, but out of all my travel, I'm every place I've been. If you ever go to a foreign countries, you see a lot of this. You travel especially when you go to certain parts of Africa, the place you, and other countries like India, places, you see people born with that. It just break your heart. No hands and no feet. And you say, oh my God, what's wrong? Because they had the right medicine. And they didn't have the right stuff they needed. When the mother was craving for certain things, maybe she couldn't get the right food to give her the vitamins that she needs so that baby could grow. But after that baby is born, you see all these imperfections. And I began to look at this thing. But out of all my travels and all the places I done been, I done see people born without feet. I done see people born without hands. I done see people born all kind of way. And I see them here. But one thing I had never seen. A man born without a head. Because if you ain't got a head, you dead. Hallelujah. So in other words, I don't care how deformed you feel. If they're going to be born, they must have a head. Hallelujah. So I don't care. In the hour that we live in, before we come to maturity, we got to come to the head. I begin to look here as I begin to think on these things right here, and I begin to look at these things, and I begin to realize Paul, he wanted to see the church to lead from. He said because of your immaturity, I cannot give you. I had to feed you milk. I cannot give you meat. A baby born, but he cannot start off eating steaks. He might want to eat it. If you will give a baby a steak, he'll probably try his best to spell it, whatever. He'll want to eat it, but he's not at the edge of the ability to eat a steak. How he's not born to eat a steak? He's born to suck the bottle. But as he begin to grow, there's a law in him that called maturity. As he begin to grow, he will finally come to the stature that he could reach out one day, the mama gonna hand him a baby bottle. He'll say, the liquid diet is over. He wants substance now. He tired of eating liquid eggs. He wants chicken. So we begin to look at these things. As he begin to grow, he begin to come to the Lord, a level of maturity, and he start craving things. He start craving different things in his food. And I want to tell you, as the church of the living God, as we begin to grow, we got to come to that level of maturity that the devil cannot change your revelation and change you by God. And you got to know where you come from. You got to know where you at. And you got to know where you're going. Maturity we talking about this evening. Paul constantly, he hit it. And Jesus said, well, I wonder why people's not coming to this level of maturity. And what's wrong with the people? What's causing them not to grow? How do it? Because there's a law that's placed in us that the growers grow to a full adoption or grow to a full son of God. What's wrong? What's wrong? All this stuff going around, the message fighting and all this other stuff. This shouldn't be in the bride. He said, God does not organ need to do his children. Hallelujah. In other words, shall we begin to hear, Lord, I'm trying to find out what's wrong with my revelation. Why hadn't I grown anymore? What happened to my growth? Hallelujah. I've been in other words, some people still been in this vessel for years and they still hadn't found who they are. They still don't even know if they say, one day you see them, I'm saved. The next day you see them, wowzy. Something wrong with your revelation. Hallelujah. In other words, that revelation is, we're not walking by how we feel. Because we went by we feel, by the way we feel, we wouldn't come to church tonight. But we are walking by revelation. There's something on the inside. Hallelujah. That's pulling you to God. There's something on the inside that tells you who you are. And if that thing don't happen, you're just walking around in circles. So I begin to go and look at him. And Paul began to teach on this thing. And Paul began to say, maturity. So we got to, in other words, until we come to maturity, we can't come to a full power, full authority in the word. Amen. We must come to this revelation of maturity in order to be able to come to this full authority in the word. You said, Brother Joel, how would you talk about? I say, because what it is today, having too many demons and too many power, too many spirits keep us down. And we look at this thing, what's wrong with me? Why I'm battling? What's going on? How did the devil say this? How does this person talk about me? And I'm going through this thing right here. I don't know what's wrong with me. What's wrong with you? You hadn't recognized who you are. Let me look at this here. Paul began to use the teaching. And Paul said in Ephesians, he was speaking of growing. The book of Ephesians. I'm just going to read a scripture here in the book of Ephesians, the 4th chapter, and I believe it's verse 15. Here go Paul says here, he says, speak the truth in love. May grow up into him in all things. You know, we put some things, all things, which is the head, even Christ. So if we're growing, we must be coming toward the head, which is Christ. In other words, he not want to have a deformed bride. He want to have a bride that has the full revelation of the word. Because she got to be able to put a veil on. When a woman get married, she don't put the veil on her feet, on her hand. The veil is designed to go over the head. Hallelujah. So in other words, when you see her coming down, if I was going to marry a lady, she coming down with a veil over her feet, and said, I'm out of there. Hallelujah. Because I know right then, I done started out with problems. So you know what I'm saying here? So Christ wanted to know. He wanted to recognize here. He wanted to understand we are growing up at the headship of the Word of God. Hallelujah. We are coming to a place of maturity. I began to look at them. I took it in Colossians. Paul spoke again in Colossians here about maturity. And Paul used this right here. Paul says here, Colossians 1 verse 9 and 10, he for this cause. We also, since the day which we heard it, did not cease to pray for you and to desire. It was a desire for Paul to see this. Desire that ye might be filled with what? With the knowledge of him, of his wisdom, of his will, and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. If you don't understand who you are, the devil going to come and talk you out of it. Have you heard Paul says here? Paul said that ye might walk worthily of the Lord unto all pleasing, being faith, being fruitful in every good work, and an increase in the knowledge of who? Hallelujah, what are we coming to? We're not coming to the knowledge. We are coming to the knowledge of God. Hallelujah. And Paul telling us, I'm looking for you. I am desired to see you grow up. Yes. Hallelujah. Like when the time when we know what God wants done with his word. Amen. Yeah, amen. All Jesus' life, all of Jesus' life, he looked to see a mature man. He wanted, when he walked on his earth, he was walking through the earth, he's looking for somebody with mature faith. Because the Bible says, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith? He needs to find somebody that had mature faith. So he walked over the earth, he went to the Jews, he went to the Samaritans, he was looking for somebody that had mature faith. And that's what God looking for right now. He was looking for somebody that the devil couldn't talk out of who they are. He looking for somebody when everything is going wrong, everything is going down, everything is against you, but you know who you are. Why are you thinking? And look at here. So he had to find this kind of man. But before you could understand this, you first of all, you must understand one thing. You will not be able to come to maturity except until you come to truth. Because truth will bring maturity. Hallelujah. When you know, we realize here, it's just like starting anything, you start a job. You don't know how to run the job till actually you experience the job and you get knowledge of the job. I don't want nobody operating on me. Fresh out of college. And he gonna do a heart surgery. Nobody finds somebody that done the job before. Hallelujah. I don't want to be practiced on. I want to know what's going on. Hallelujah. You say, well, in other words, I want to know that this person has gained knowledge. This person he done been through college. He done been trained in knowledge and medicine that he can perform an operation. That's the kind of man you're looking for. You just don't want nobody coming there and guessing. So we talking about maturity for a second here. So we talking about maturity. So truth what brings us to maturity. And Jesus said it in his own word. He said, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. Hallelujah. When I've been outside of knowing the truth, it ain't no freedom. Because when you don't know the truth, you believe anything. Hallelujah. The reason I'm not upset at what's going on in the world, because I know what the truth says. Hallelujah. If I didn't know what I know today, I'd be in a miserable rant. I'd be under depression. I'd be under depression pill because my nerves could not take it. But since I know the truth. Since I know the truth, I can look at all the events going on in the world. I can look at everything that's happening in politics, and I can say, when they go to squeeze us up, we get ready to go up. Because I realize that got to happen. How did we get in here? So I begin to look at this thing, maturity. Jesus wanted to find a man that walked on that same level. He wanted somebody that understood maturity. And I mean, let me just say something about Adam real quick. Adam was a full mature man. He was not never born to suck a baby ball. He was born a full grown man. God gave him a full grown position. I give you authority over everything that's out here. I want you to subdue it and keep it in line. If anything get out of line, Adam, I want you to pull it back in line. I'm giving you full authority. Adam, you can name. If you don't want it there, you just speak the word. Adam had all this in his hand. I wish Adam would have saved us the problem of getting old. It would have been nice if you didn't get old. You know, it would have been real nice. Nobody hair got gray. All your teeth stayed in. You said, boy, it would have been real nice. It would have been real nice if Adam would have saved us the problem of getting old. He could have did it. He had all authority. He should, soon as he got this authority, he should have went down to the garden. And he should have walked out in the garden to eat it. And he should have found the devil. And he said, devil, I don't want you to be here. Poof. Then we wouldn't have had no problem with getting old. But it says Adam did not use that authority right away. That's why we're in the shape we're in. And I begin to look over here. I begin to look here. But you never enjoy. Adam's faith was mature faith. He believed. His revelation of maturity had something in Adam that none of us couldn't have done. Very few could have did what Adam done. He said, oh boy, now don't hit this one. I'm just telling you the truth. He said, when Eve, it was not Adam that was guilty of the transgression. Eve did it. Adam knew she did it. But him being a mature son of God, he looked down and knew that he seen that woman that was took from him. He seen that woman that he loved with all his heart and all his compassion. And Adam had a mature revelation. He knew when God come down and caught Eve in his condition and the devil in his condition, she would have been destroyed. He knew that God would have annihilated her. And Adam being a son of God, Adam said, no way, I'm going to get my bride. He walked out knowing that he knew he was walking in the devil. He was not deceived. But his love, it restrained him. His love restrained him to take back a woman that should have been burned. The prophet says she shouldn't have never been took back. But Adam took her back, knowing his love restrained him to take Eve back. When he did, the love of God was restrained. When he did that, he restrained God. God said, I've got to go down and take this bride, that she won't go to hell. He restrained God to come down and take your place. He restrained God to come down and take my place. He took my sin and nailed it on his cross. And he went to hell for me. Because of Adam's love. Hallelujah. Let me get back where I was. But Jesus wanted that kind of man. Since the time he wanted to find a man that walked in his same level of revelation. Same level of faith. A mature man. A man that knew his position. Hallelujah. All woman, whoever it is, that know their position. So Jesus walked on in the book. And he found this man in St. Matthew 8. St. Matthew, the 8th chapter. He said, Brother Joe, why you preach the Bible? Because Brother Ben said that's his court book. I got quotes, I'm going to use them too. But Brother Ben said, when the seals open, the Bible become a new book. Hallelujah. If you read the Bible, you don't see Jesus or Jesus' revelation, go back and read it again. You miss Christ in the book. Hallelujah. So here he is. He goes here, he finds a man. In St. Matthew 8, and verses 5, he says here, and then verse 5, and when Jesus had entered into the Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, saying, Lord, my servant lies at home, sick of a palsy, grievously tormented. Amen. Now here goes something. We talk about mature faith. Here he was approaching Jesus, telling him his request, where his servant was. And watch how Jesus respond. Jesus seen his request. And the seventh verse, and Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. Everybody wants Jesus to come to the house. Hallelujah. Everybody wants the physical. Everybody in that day would have been an honor for him to have a physical statue of Jesus Christ. The one that he heard about healing the sick. The one that he healed about, raising the dead. All these great miracles. Hallelujah. How would it be if we could have had the prophet come in and sit down? You know, it would have been nice. It would have been nice if he would have come. We knew all the miracles he did. Come and sit down in my kitchen. But how much more it is the eyes of you that had not seen. But took the word that was opened up for this day. Said ain't no need to come to my house. All I need to hear the word. That's all we need. So he goes in here and he says to Jesus. And Jesus, I will come and heal him. This man was a mature man. He didn't need nobody to pat him on the back to go to church. He didn't need nobody to tell him, to try to encourage him, to cheerlead him on to go to church. Hallelujah. He was a mature man. He understood that faith come by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. He understood, if I can hear the word of God, I don't care, I might have come tonight. I might have been sick. I might have had depression on me, but as the word went forth, I was healed. I was set free. The word of God done that. He did. The eighth verse says, and the centurion answered and said, Lord, I want you to notice his approach was right. Because if he would have approached him as son of David, Jesus would have turned him down. If he would have supported, so he would say, he would have came to Jesus instead of saying Lord and say son of David, Jesus said, get out here. You don't approach me that way. You have no covenant. You are down from the start. But when he approached him, Lord. Hallelujah. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Hallelujah. When he approached him as Lord. Hallelujah. He could not turn that away. I am the Lord that healeth all thy diseases. He had the right approach. He said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou should come. That thou shalt come under my roof. But do what? Speak the word. Hallelujah. We could have took that right there. Hallelujah. You'll be the whole. Oh man, here go the word right here. Here go Jesus right here. And all I want is the word. Hallelujah. What is a man but his word? All I need, he had mature faith. He said to the man here, he keep beginning to speak here. Let me find my place here. He said, yeah, right, the ninth verse of faith. That's the night. Yeah, never. He's on my, and I'm not worthy that thou should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man. Now he goes and start preaching to Jesus. I want you to understand, I know who I am. Hallelujah. I'm not just a fly by night. I'm not a Christian that you just knock around. I know what it is to be in authority, and I know what it is to be under authority. I know what the word says. The 10th verse says, he said, here he is, Jesus standing there. He said, I am a man under authority. I know what it is to be told to do something. There's a lot of times with church people, we ain't learned that yet. Now ain't nobody tell me what to do. Oh, buddy, I want to tell you what. You got to learn what authority is. How the authority is. I'm being able to submit myself, not to opinion, but to the word of God. I am under authority. As long as a man preach me the word of God, I am obligated to submit myself to that authority. And then, that's what the prophet said. You said, well, you can do it. Your love is away. Well, we should submit ourselves to the man. No, they ain't doing what the prophet taught. The prophet said, if the man lead the word, lead the man. But if the man preaching the word, submit yourself to the authority, not to the man, but to the word. I am a man under authority, having soldiers under. I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go. And he goeth. Amen. And to another come, and he cometh. And to my servant do this, and he does it. Amen. The next verse says, and when Jesus heard it, he got excited. Amen. It moves God. Hallelujah. God, when God sees mature faith, it moves God. Hallelujah. When he sees a son of God that has been through every kind of trial, everything in hell been against you, and you raise up and know who you are, that moves God. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said unto them, that Father, verily I say unto you, I have not found so what? And not, no, not in Israel. I have not found this kind of faith. Faith that moved God. Faith that come to the revelation. That know who you are. That when we fall short of, how does everything come our way? We give up so easy. We give up so easy, church. We throw the towel in. Well, I might as well surrender. It ain't nothing I can do. I might as well just go back to the world. I can't overcome this. What you giving up for? How you stand on your ground? Start telling yourself, I'm a son of God. Before your body can obey it, you better talk to it. Begin to go in here. When you have mature faith in the word of God, mature faith always changes circumstances. Circumstances don't change faith. Faith come to change circumstances. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We sing a song. Anyway you fix it, Lord, you know I'll be satisfied. Hallelujah. But when the reality hit, hallelujah, why me, Lord? But mature faith changes circumstances. Hallelujah. Don't matter what come my way, God is always in control. We got to grab that kind of revelation. Now, here we are. I'm building up to get to something. You see one man in a second. So, here it is. Mature faith. We got to come to that revelation. Hallelujah. You say, well, Brother Jewel, what did Abraham walk in? Abraham walked by perfect faith. Hallelujah. You say, well, it always perfect. He grew in it. Hallelujah. When he left out, and he, God called him out of the land of the Chaldeans. Abraham brought people with him. He brought his daddy, some of his family members, Lot. God told him to get up. Hallelujah. He had to come subject to authority. Hallelujah. He had to come to full authority. And God never fully blessed Abraham till he got rid of all unbelief. So we find here what happened there. I'm just going to look at Abraham walk because we'll go back to Abraham. Perfect faith. Abraham walked in a revelation. Hallelujah. Here Abraham was. Do you realize here that Abraham had many failures? Yeah. Amen. Abraham wouldn't know, hey man, this guy did some things and we would have been around the message still sending text message. We've been talking about his first wife. Second wife, Hagar. Hallelujah. Had all this stuff over there. Oh man, don't let him preach in your pulpit. He been married to Hagar. Had a baby out of wedlock. Oh, buddy, dog. I don't want him to tell me this. But the way God saw Abraham and the way we saw Abraham were two different ways. Because when Paul wrote about his commentary, Paul said Abraham staggered not. But when we look at his life story, we saw only weakness here. But Abraham's weakness didn't get him down. Let's look here. We find here Abraham goes out and take Hagar. And he goes out there and he takes this unclean hand, produces an illegitimate child out of wedlock, they become a wild man. Right. Yeah. Hallelujah. Then later on, you know the story. Here he is. Here he was taking his first son, Ishmael. Taking Ishmael, that wild child, out of Hagar, out of unclean hand. Hallelujah. God allowed him to do it. But Abraham's revelation was not wild with it. Because Abraham never got Ishmael. Ishmael was not Abraham's son. Ishmael was Abram's son. Hallelujah. When God, before God brought Isaac, he changed his name. He received a new name. He was no longer called Abraham, Abram, but he was called Abraham. God put some of his name in him. So what he did in his first union was done away with. When God dropped your first union under the blood, God only intended for you to go back and dig it up. People say, I remember this, but God said, I cannot remember that. I want you to notice here. After his name was changed, I think it was in Genesis 17, the supernatural started following him. When God changed his name, his supernatural started. First of all, he done away with his first union. He did away with the union of Abram. Under his first birth, under his first nature was did away with. He's going to give you a new name, Abraham. Amen. Father of many nations, ain't got one child. I mean, ain't got no child under that name of Abraham. Had a child under Abram. So he goes to have a baby by Sarah, and under Sarah, he had his firstborn child under Abraham. Hallelujah. And then what? We might have had all this against us in the world. But when we got born again, we produced a new nature under Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I want you to notice something. Abraham had to come to a full revelation. He never gained strength. He never had all the name change, everything that Abraham needed. He had to come with full confidence, full faith, and the title of El Shaddai. Because now he was no longer going to help himself. He was too old to have a child. Sarah was too old to have a baby. Her womb was just as good as dead. He was dried up. Hallelujah. So now he had to put all his faith in El Shaddai. Hallelujah. In other words, that had a body change. After all the death and circumstance was against him, he had to trust in El Shaddai. People, and we at the end of the age. When all these demons against us, when every power of Satan, God, hell had been torn loose on earth, every spirit out of hell been let loose on earth, it don't even seem like we can make it. But at the end of the day, put all your strength, put all your faith in El Shaddai. My God is able. The mighty God. Now let's look at Abraham Revelation. Now, he must be tested for this maturity. Because God couldn't have let Abraham kill Isaac under Abram. His faith wouldn't where it need be yet. Because Abram, he would have came at that moment and told Abram to do it. Abram, God, I'm killing my son. And I wait all these years. What's wrong with you? But I didn't went through all these trials. I just faith to come to full mature faith. God did not give him a test until his faith was ready to take the test. And when his faith got ready, then he took the test. Right. He was fully good. He was fully surrendered. But Abraham had this kind of faith. Because Abraham had come to a revelation. I was too old.
Amen.
It had to be El Shaddai.
Yeah,
I knew I was too far in sin. It had to be El Shaddai to bring me back. He was going, he had Isaac. And then when God never gave him the test, but as he got old, and he done got a name change. Now God, he's a mature son. Now God testing his faith. Abraham. First of all, one of his greatest trials was, he had Lot, his nephew. He not no message. He ain't like the message people. Lot went back to a denomination church. He was believing in two lords, so Abraham didn't do a lot. Most of the messy people did. He's out of grace. He's going straight to hell.
Right. Amen.
Even though he didn't believe what Abraham believed, but Abraham's faith said, I'm not going to let go of my nephew. I'm not going to let go of my child. I don't care what shape they in. I don't care what the devil say about them. I'm going to hold on as long as I got left like them. Good wouldn't have been us. Lot would have been on his own down there.
Yeah.
He done separated from me. He don't go to my church no more. He had a Christ. Yeah. Hey, that wasn't messy. That's messy. That's immature theology. Yeah. If he don't come to my church, he ain't gonna make it. If he don't come to Christ, he ain't gonna make it. And if you don't have faith to hold on for him, you gonna help him not to make it. So Abraham, what did Abraham do? Abraham didn't kick Lot or scratch him off when Lot got in trouble. He wasn't even believing in the same thing he believed in. Abraham said, we're going down and deliver my nephew. Man, this is my nephew. I'm not letting him take him in there like that. His faith still held on. Hallelujah. And sometimes people with messy people, we come so lifted up. Hallelujah. We got people out there in our family. Hallelujah. Because they don't believe what we believe.
Write them off.
Right.
Scratch him off. He ain't nothing but Antichrist. Hating the man doing all he can. He might not never come what you see, but you can always have faith for him. You can always try to hold on for him. Don't scratch him off. Don't let the devil put that in your mind. He changed circumstances.
Yes, sir.
You know, he said, "Lot, separate, so go to a different church." Abraham didn't get all upset at it. No. Abraham said, "I'm holding on anyway." Yeah. Lot in trouble. Let's go down there and get him out of trouble. How do you know what you know that why when sometimes a lot of people don't go to my church, Brother Joel, Brother Horn. How do a lot of my family members don't go to my church? How do, but when they call me to come up to the hospital and pray for them, I say, let's go up there and lay hands on them in the name of Jesus Christ. How do, it ain't me to get there. Let God get glory. You don't want to look at it, well, I ain't going up there and pray for them. They don't believe what I believe. I'm going to pray for them anyway. Hallelujah. In other words, they may become a believer. Hallelujah. They might be a friend to the bride. And for me not to judge that, that's up to God. Let me say here.
That's good.
And now we get to my point. I'm going to put my parachute on in a second and I'm going to jump. And I just hope I'm far enough away from them for the repellers in the helicopter so I don't get tangled up. Hallelujah. So we find out here. So Abraham had another major test. Abraham's faith came. When God finally put the blessing, the amen on it.
Amen.
He said, Abraham, I want you to offer your only begotten son. His only begotten son. What happened to his first nature? What happened to his first? It was done away with. Hallelujah. God couldn't remember that. God was looking at his perfect picture. He'd never seen him back there. He'd seen his perfect picture. A young man and a young woman that had a child named Isaac. Hallelujah. God looked at his perfect picture. And God said, I want you to offer your only begotten son, Abraham.
Amen.
Abraham.
Right.
That's what the test was. You can shout and holler now. But God said you kill that baby.
Right.
Come on, Brother Joel. Man, that'd be a hard thing, buddy. You better know that he's El Shaddai. You better know that he's the Almighty God unveiled. You better know that he's the lily of the valley and the bright and morning star. You better know who God is if God asks you to test like that. Hallelujah. But Abraham said, I'm going all the way. Hallelujah. I didn't come this far to turn back now. Hallelujah. God, he done turned me back to a young man. And done turned Sarah back to a young woman. My God is more than able. And they're walking up through the earth. And his son, Isaac, had been raised in the message. All his life. He never went up there to offer sacrifice without a ram or something with him. So he was a messy child. He looked at his father. Maybe getting old.
Come on now.
Maybe he done forgot.
Yes, sir.
Right. Yeah.
I better remind him he ain't got nothing to offer.
Yeah.
And then as he looked at him and said, Father.
Right.
Innocent, looking at his dad, he's thinking, we done been riding 3 days. Mama don't even know you took me out of here. The Bible said Abraham got up early in the morning.
Right.
You know why? Because if Sarah would have knew he was going to do that, it would have been a fight all the way down there. She would have said, no, buddy, you're not killing my son. No, sir, you tried doing that to a real mama. You had to kill her and the son. It would have been two resurrections up there. A real mama died for a child. He said, a real mama give her life for a child. Oh, no, he had to get up real early to get this one over. And walking up on the mountain, and as he looked at his father, he said, Father, here's on the fire, here's on the wood, but where's the sacrifice? Abraham had to speak the word. Hallelujah, he had to speak the word. Because perfect faith is perfect word. Hallelujah, he didn't say, all he said, he might not realize what he was doing. He spoke that lamb. He said, God will create himself a sacrifice when he released the word. Hallelujah. When he released the spoken word, something began to materialize. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. That's what I'm saying. Jesus wanted to realize here. Hallelujah. We are coming to mature son of God. If God said it, hallelujah, we are hold on to every word. We believe God. Amen. Jesus taught maturity. Amen. You say, what you mean he taught maturity? He taught his bride or his disciples the revelation of maturity. He began to teach one time. He stole the seed in the field. And they all begin to grow. So the disciples get zealous. They raise up and they say, let us go pluck them all up. Jesus said, hold it. Don't do that. Because you might find something that looked like they might be tares, but they wheat. And you ended up plucking up the wheat with the wheat with the tares. He said, but let them grow. Lay in the presence of the Son. Don't try to put nobody out. Let them lay in the presence of the Son. Ever seen before at this time. If it lay there long enough, you won't have to tell what it is. The fruit will tell what it is. But we're too busy plucking everybody out before they get grown. By the time the rapture day play, there ain't nobody. And we done plucked everybody out of the field. Hallelujah. Jesus never did that. And the prophet said, what our problem is, we need to lay in the presence of the Son. Amen. What they're going to do, they're going to bring us to maturity. We are right now, everything that's been preached, all the revelation, all the mission has been unbroken. What we come to church for? To lay in the presence of the Son. Amen. Till I become my mind and God become the same mind. Till my actions and his action become the same action. Until you, when you see her, you see him. When you see the bride, you see Christ. We're talking about message. Get back to this real quick. You know what message people is? Today, when somebody leave the church, your family, our thought is, let them go. If they would have been saved, yeah, they wouldn't have left.
That's right.
If you would have been saved, you would have went out there. Right. He ain't got, I tell you what, I watch him all through church. I've been in church with him. He ain't never got the Holy Ghost. Don't plug him up. Don't plug him up. He might be a son of God, and he might have to go through this trial, but if he's a son of God, God will push him to every place. He'll whoop him. He will come back.
Amen.
Probably use this quote right here. I'm going to adoption. And I trust that, you know, everybody, we mature Christians. And every day, it's all right. You know, we got all these ideas, and we still, even my own self, I say, God. It's my revelation at the point that I love my enemy as myself. Now you ask me, say, Brother Jude, do you think it's there? I'm praying for it to get there. You hear what I say? I'm praying for it to get there. I mean, God know when time come here, give me the test. Don't tempt me before then. Just don't tempt me before then because I might not pass. When that time come, God will know I'm ready. So here it is. He says here, he's speaking in doctrine, but pay for it. He said, I went out there, brother, not long ago, had went astray.
All right.
You know, a lot. Got tired of the way things was. Didn't like church order, said, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
Went astray. A young fellow said to me, let the rasta go.
Yeah.
That had to be message.
Right.
That had to be message right there. Let him go. He ain't one of us. You better be careful. You might not be one of us. He said, I said.
Right? What
does
he say?
I said, if I ever get to a place that my heart do not go with my brother, then it's time for me to go to the altar because I fell from grace. Hallelujah. When you lose your revelation that God put you on earth to be a ministry of reconciliation, when you lose that, something wrong with your vision. Oh, they said, Brother Joy, and then he said, I fell from grace. I said, I go as long as I got breath in my body. I don't want to ask myself that question because I probably ain't done all that. But I'm asking God to help me to get to that place that I can go as long as I got breath in my body. Hallelujah, let me hold on. Hallelujah, you know, we one thing about us, we won't hold on for somebody else, but we hold on for our children. That same faith that you hold on for your child. I don't care how bad they're getting, you're still holding on. I believe God's going to bring them back. You might not even see no results. Faith is not to see it. No way. Faith is to believe that God will bring them back. Hallelujah. So a lot of time I ain't seen all even many results. But I one thing I know that God said, ask anything in my name and I got in your heart, you can have whatsoever you have. I don't know how God gonna save it. I don't know. And you say, well, but Brother Joel, he might be a Tommy father. But I'm not gonna quote that. No. I'm not gonna go around and say, well, my child is Tommy Ashes. Oh, my daughter, she's Tommy and Ashes. Abraham had more sense than that. He said, if there be 10. And then when the angel said, not 10, he said, I'm not going to say no more because I don't want to lose Lot. He didn't want to go past 10 because he had Lot down there and he didn't want no devil to change his faith. He says here, I know this is simple, but if you think about these things, help me to grow, Lord. He says right here, he's up there from grace. He said, as long as I got breath in my body, I would catch him somewhere along the line. Yes, sir. And I caught him, hallelujah, and brought him back. Oh, my God. Where am I made in my walk with God? And then another spirit, we won't go, in another spirit, that I find around the message. You said, Bridget, why are you preaching? Hey, people, I just didn't wake up in this thing yesterday. I done been in it 30 years. I've been through my share of ups and downs. I don't know what it is to be a half backslidden Christian sneaking around looking at things, doing anything. I never went back and drunk. But I got things in my life I wouldn't want you to know. Hallelujah, I want to let you know I had to go through the ups and downs too. I know what it is to sneak around and look at immoral stuff. I know what it is to look at the wrong thing. I know what it is to say the wrong thing. Don't tell me. But I had to grow like everybody else. I had to come to the conclusion, Lord, either I'm going to serve you or else I need to walk away from this thing. I just got tired of being a hypocrite. Hallelujah. So another thing that we can't get away from, another spirit I see that bothers people so much because of immaturity. They just can't let go of their past. That has been the hardest demon for people to let go of. God can't even forgive them because they can't even forgive themselves. Every time God put it in the blood, they go dig it up. How do they keep looking at him? Paul said, I'm forgetting those things behind. You know something, people? I can't mark. People say, Brother Jewel, how you preach with brothers? You know, I preach with a lot of churches. Sometimes these brothers, they be fighting with each other. They say, how you get to preach with these brothers and not get involved? I said, because God called me to preach, not to play politics. If two men got to fight, that ain't my problem. I come to preach to the people. I'm not here trying to do something. This preacher gets that preacher, and that don't matter to me. I come to preach to the bride. I don't do that stuff. That just ain't my nature. You said, well, there's a compromise. Hey, you can call what you want to call. But I want to tell you what. He said the bridal ministry come to perfect the bride, not politics. Oh, let me get back to it. Amen. This condemnation we do, we get so involved with things, get so beat down. But condemnation has been the thing that we can't let go of. And people, let's look at life. It ain't nobody in here. Very few, for sure. Probably, if I would look through the history of this country, I would have to say it wouldn't be nobody in here to be a Levitical priest. Because when you get to my first grandfather, I'm blowed. I ain't going to the great, I'm just saying to the first one. You get to the first grandfather, older. Leviticus, they could check, they could go back to their natural lineage. And they could check all the way back. And ain't no scarecrows. We go in our lineage, you open the closet, boom, it's over. So we realize here we all got passes.
Right.
Only man that have a pass with Jesus.
Right.
He can look back and say my grandfather smoked pot because he came from God. He can say my mother was a flapper because God created him. He had no mother or father. Hallelujah, I'm your mother and your father. Hallelujah, when you see me. So he didn't have no past. He born. Present tense. You know, he was. He didn't have no past. But we got past. And because we got passes, we build up things called complexes and condemnation. And this condemnation is a demon that them beat the bride down. That's why you get so much of this. How you feeling tonight? Wowsy, wowsy, wowsy. If it wasn't for bad luck, I wouldn't have none at all. Well, don't stay around me. I ain't laying around with a dog got fleas. I don't want fleas. But we fail to recognize why we can't, why we cannot let go of our past.
Yes, sir.
Right. You can't help what you've done in your past. But you got a choice of what you're going to do with your future. People thought, I mean, I got no past I can brag on. I cannot even tell you the full testimony of my past. I'm too embarrassed if I would go to that. But I can tell you about my future. I got to understand where I come from. I got to understand that he took my sin, nailed it on his toe, how he paid the debt. That's it. It's in it. So I don't have to worry about this. But we're talking about past.
All right.
We can't let go of this one spirit. Right. Romans 8:1. Yes, Romans 8 chapter verse 1. As he pulled that up. And I want to look at him because this is not our condition. We living in this condition right here. We are living below our privileges.
All right.
Romans the 8th chapter. Now just read it. Don't get pulled up. Romans 8 chapter verse 1. He said, there is. Oh, praise God. See, Brother Danny don't want y'all to know this. He put this up there that big because he's like in his 50s like me. And it's a lot easier for him to look at that than it is to look at this. That's when you get wisdom. When you get wisdom, you know what to do. That's all right. Thank you, Brother Danny. Thanks for science. And y'all brothers, thanks for doing this. You're a young guy, it don't really matter. You can see this thing this far back. But when you get older, this sound look a lot better. He says here, there is, therefore, what? What that word is? Do you know what no means? We're going to talk about no. What do no mean? What is the definition for no? What's the definition for no? No. There is therefore now
no,
what?
No.
No.
So next time the devil get on your back, you better tell him no.
No.
Tell him no. You ain't got no right to say yes, devil.
Right.
Because there is now what?
No.
Condemnation to who? I don't know if you saw your name or not, but if you didn't, you might as well look at that and say, he's talking about me. Hallelujah, because I'm not going to let no devil beat me down for something I done done and something I can't get rid of. But that's why I needed somebody to take my sin and take it to his cross. I'm not looking at what I done. I'm looking at what he done.
Amen.
Therefore, there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ.
Amen.
Jesus walked not after the flesh, but after the spirit. No condemnation. Why? Because people can't stay saved. People cannot stay saved. They come to the altar. We have a big prayer line.
Right.
We lay hands on them and anoint them with oil.
Yeah.
And they be like, wow, I'm ready to go. And the next day they bump their nose.
Yeah.
And they realize, wowsy, wowsy, woo. Yeah. I feel just so good when he laid hands on me. Feel like 200 pounds left out of me.
Right.
I feel like I can run through the wall and I feel like jumping over. But now, I lost my salvation. You just lost it because you just confessed you lost it. You are saved as long as you believe you're saved. Hallelujah. Are you going to make a lot of bumps in life? Your trial is that I got my eyes on Jesus. And if I fall down, I'm going to keep getting back up. If I fall down, I'm going to keep getting back up. I'm going to keep getting back up until my body obeys my confession. I'm getting ready to close. I got a lot to you I can say, but I'm not going to try to say it tonight. I'll preach in the morning. Praise the Lord. Let's just look at this here real quick. Because I'm tired. I said, Lord, even myself, condemnation. We just can't let go of it.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Oh, you see people, what's your problem? And I got so many things in my life. Well, what you going to do about it? It's wearing me to death. I guess I need to get on some antidepressants. No, you didn't need to get on some blood of Jesus. Let me get back up in the light so I can see this. He says here, Paul had a problem in his day. We're having a problem in our day. We're talking about mature faith. When a man comes to mature faith, the devil might trip you up or whatever it is. He will never be able to keep you down. Mature faith would not stay down. He said, so Paul had it. When there is now no condemnation. If there's condemnation, you still got a lot of weight on you. The reason people got weight on them, people, you said, well, I blaspheme. Well, if you blaspheme, you wouldn't have no desire to go to church. If you blaspheme the Holy Ghost, you wouldn't have no desire to go to church. You might have went out and committed adultery. You might have went out and smoked pot. You might have done some unclean or lived in fornication. But something in your life keep you coming back. That means that you still got hope. And hang on to your faith. Don't keep doing this thing. I'm going to show you. Let me read this quote. Because a lot of people, when you read this kind of message, they say, praise the Lord, I can do what I want to do. I'm going out and get drunk. Well, they show you the devil from the start. Let me hear. Grace don't make you want to do what you want to do. Grace make you fall on your knees. Say, I surrender all, Lord. I thank you for your amazing grace for saving me. If you was going to prison and somebody took and dropped the charges on you and you was guilty, you wouldn't be saying, I'm going to go back and do it. You'd be shouting. Last quote. He says here in Master Teacher Paul, he said, now watch this master builder, this master teacher, Paul. The first thing he knocked out, all the idea of falling away. Young people, get it out of your mind. You're going to make mistakes. But don't live in your past. Put that under the blood. Ask God to give you strength to overcome that thing. You say, well, I've done it again. Ask him the next day to give you strength to overcome. Amen. Don't sit there and accept that demon. Don't sign for a devil. Amen. If you fall in the internet, don't get up and say, well, I'm out of way. Just quit. I can't do it. Ask God. Don't ask God, the Lord, take it from me. Tell him to annihilate it. Kill the desire. People, everybody, you just don't come to this thing. This is a walk. Yes. Amen. And the way you learn how to overcome, you're going to go through a lot of trials. Right. You're going to have a lot of ups and downs. But you're going to learn how to get yourself equipped to take the punches. He said, because the devil got a punch left. He said, he got a punch at you. A real good box of steps. Yeah. Amen. Okay. I'm hooked up. Oh, praise God. A real good, I watched Muhammad Ali fighted, George Foreman, he had to sit there and study.
Right.
Because he knew he was going to take these punches.
Yes, sir.
And he knew if my body is not in condition, when George Foreman hit me, it's going to be like running into a baseball bat. Yeah. So my job is not to get hit. Try to dodge it all I can. Hey, your job is not to get hit. Take the word of God and start dodging. Falling away.
Hallelujah.
Falling away. You don't want to give up. You know, you get to the point, you do something wrong, and you just feel like, well, I might as well throw the title in.
Yeah.
I thank God he gave me a spirit to keep fighting. Yeah. Because I've done so many things wrong that I've been so low in my spirit that I thought I just ought to walk away and give up. But every time I got back up, I said, God, I can make it by your grace. Hallelujah. People, you just don't know what it is. If you come out and walk a life being a drug addict, all involved in immoral living, and come to this message, you're going to have a struggle with your body. Oh, buddy, I'm preaching reality. I'm not going to tell you. I ain't going to make you pitch your pedigree picture. Oh, but Jesus. Nah, buddy. I had to fall down the hands of Almighty God. I know what it is.
Amen. Right,
when you get a mental, when you coming out of one lifestyle to another, a different style, your body going to be going through all kinds of things. And the devil was telling me to give up. Once you quit, you'll give up. Either you made a mistake, give up. I wasn't raised in the message. Hey, you ain't no good. Look at your past. Give up. But one day, a revelation struck. The prophet of God said, he got more confidence every time you stand up. Stand to your feet and overcome the devil. The musicians, come on back. Musicians, I'm through with the score. Let me finish it up real quick. He said, knock away all the idea of falling away. He knocked out all the idea of ever being a Christian today and tomorrow I'm gone. And the next day God condemned me. Look what you're saying. And the next day God condemned me. And the next day, I'm back again. That's nonsense. Excuse me. That's nonsense. Now this book is not addressed to the evangelist teaching or evangelist sermon. I do not touch this on the field. I'm bringing this to the church. I'm bringing this to the church because Paul was talking to the church. Because if he knew you'd tell it to some of these hypocrites that ain't living right, they got a good cloak to sin now. I can do what I want to do and I'm going to be saved. No, if you can do, I don't know what, once God bring the Holy Ghost in your life, you don't want to do what you want to do. You want to please God. The devil might trap you up, but you want to come back. Hallelujah. Don't let it weaken you. Let it strengthen you. When you're in the middle of a trial, you begin to get strengthened. If you go through a trial, you're breaking down, you got the wrong revelation. He says here, I do not bring this to the church. I bring this to the church. Paul addressing this to the saints. Those that are called and reserved and feel and are set aside.
Amen.
He says right here, and are in the Holy Ghost already in Canaan land. He's trying to tell them the first thing, get it out of your mind that you're going to get lost. Are you going to do this? Are you're scared of this? Do not be scared of nothing. For he's trying to tell you where you are at, who you are, and how you stand. Don't let the devil talk you out of it. It's a song y'all sang here. I believe it was that we've been made more than conquerors. We are conquerors, peoples. You said, Brother Jewel, why I'm still coming to church? I got failures in my life. I got weakness in my life. Why I keep coming to church? Because something that you can't give up. Hallelujah. That little pond lady. You might have been born down under the mud. And it might have been old slimy lizards all over your life.
Yes,
old slimy frogs slob all over your life.
Yes,
all you did lay there and they crawled over you and beat you down.
Yeah.
But one day there'll rise another sun.
Yes, sir.
Howdy, Brother Don, you know what I'm talking about. Howdy, there'll rise another sun.
Yes,
sir. It goes down in that water and begin to warm that water up.
Yes,
you still might not be what you want to be. But I know one thing. I'm not what I used to be. You don't have to tell that tunnelity to grow. There's a power within it. As it lay in the presence of the Son. Something began to push its way through. It might be hard. It might be a lot of trials. Keep laying in these services. The word that you hear them preach over and over. Watch that little pun, lady. You might have to struggle your way, but keep pushing your way up. You might have to pull back, but keep pushing your way up. And one day, that little pun, lady going to break in the presence of the Son. And them flowers going to open up. And that little pun, lady, if it can speak, it's going to say, I made it by the grace of God. Hallelujah. I believe I need to sing another song, not right now. Yeah, they're going, that sound good. That sound good. Play that. Play that. We've been made more than conquerors. You're going to have to start believing this, church. Young person, if you're making a mistake, people have got, there's so many mistakes going on Facebook today, I hate to even talk about that. But the problem ain't the Facebook, the problem is your faith. Whatever the thing that weakens you the most. Whatever the thing you can't overcome the most. That's the thing that God requires you to get rid of.
That's him. That's the truth.
The very thing that you seem to love the most in this world. That's the thing God wants you to get rid of. Husband, wife. It's time to get this thing together. It's time to go home. We've been made more than conquerors. I always give opportunity for prayer that this is my way I am. They call me a Mark 16 preacher. A preacher wrote me a while back and rebuked me. But it don't really matter. I'm going to keep praying for the sick, laying hands on the sick, until one day they can raise up and say, I can do it. I can take God at his word. Everybody ain't on your level of faith. You say, well, I don't need prayer. Then pray for that next man. I don't need hands laid on me, but lay hands on the one that needs it. That's the word of God. I can see where he put it in the Bible. Just in where he took it out. We've been made more than conquerors. And I will give opportunities. I'm going to deal with somebody. They're dealing with something. They're just keeping them down. You come to church, you're guilty. You're shamed. You're knowing you shouldn't be doing it. A husband, a wife, a child. But you can't let go of the spirit. And it's finally done got so strong, you seem to can't shake yourself. You need a touch from God. Amen. It ain't nothing wrong with having the weaknesses. What's wrong with it, you don't want to get rid of it. Hallelujah. I'm going to be the first to tell you, I had to make a decision. I had to come to the point. If I'm going to go in a motel and I'm going to look at unclean stuff and go and preach, I'm a hypocrite. Man, I'm the preacher from my heart. I had to make that decision. I said, Lord, if I'm going to preach to God people, then let me clean my act up. My wife, I tell you, I said, I refuse to get myself involved in that kind of stuff anymore. Because I want to be an overcomer. You open one door, the devil going to take another. He find one way to get in. Because the devil know your weakness. Hallelujah. You can look at all these filthy movies. I'm talking to husband. You can look at all these filthy movies you want to do. I want my wife to be like that. Get away and have a life, bro. That woman that had all your babies. 5 or 6 children for you. And I want her to be a 26. You got a devil on you. You need me now. I'm closing. I just want to say these things because I know what we ain't this air. This air done come before number a bunch of perverted, sexual, all kind of crazy demons. And it's time to call them out. Husband leaving their wife, wife leaving their husband. Everybody looking for somebody. He's 50 years old. Man, I'm just as good. You mean you better wake up and smell the coffee. That's Hollywood. That little girl you see on the magazine, 26, 36, whatever she is, she probably don't eat but a bowl of soup a day. apple and orange a day. Man, I don't care what she eats. I'll eat some chicken, rice, beans, and everything else. But if you got a spirit body in you and a secret death, but Ben said, those demons do not go nowhere until you make them right. You got to confess that demon, not to the whole church, to God. Say, God, I'm tired of being a hypocrite. God can't help you until you realize, I need you, God. I know I played church too while, but I had to come to that point. I'm tired, God. Take it from me. As they play this song, see, the one need prayer tonight as I'm closing. But George, he'll be singing a song for us. I give this opportunity. Oh man, excuse me. Overcomers. We've been. Hallelujah! We've been made! Person that I am.
Hallelujah.
We're going to see a death tonight. She said, I want God to kill the person that I am and let me become a new person. That's what we're asking God to do. What's your name? Tonight we're going to burn a star and we're going to raise this Miss Jesus back up.
come away, my love. Come away, my love. I have waited for this day that I could give to you my name. Eternity awaits us. Come away, my love. Come away, my love. Come away, my love. I have waited for this day that I could give to you. Eternity awaits us. Come away, my love. Come away, my love. Come away. Waited for this day that I give to you my name. Eternity. I could give to you my name. Eternity awaits us. Come away, my love. There's a table dressed in linen. A banquet is prepared. A host of angels gathered for the celebration there. The bride is almost ready in spotless white array. A hush falls over heaven as the groom begins to say, come away, come away. Come away, come away, come away, my love. I have waited for this day, but I could give to you my name. Eternity awaits us. Come away, my love. I have loved you from creation, even before you came to me. I've carried that love with me all the way to Calvary. Though it wasn't over when they laid me in the tomb, I proved my love would never die. I rose again for you. My Lord, the more than I release my cares, the more you take control, the more. Myself the more. myself the more that I can humble myself. Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Hope of our lives, you let me see beauty that made it so hard adore you. Hope of our lives, spend with you. Here I am, here I am. So worthy, created all for love's sake. Upon that cross, I'm there.